There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
No, you want to.
Keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go. With the qualifying, Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Steve Falb, my co-host. Nasser Hamid will be bringing us Motorsports Mondial in the second part of the show. This is podcast number 459, September 23rd, 2010. Stephen?
This F1 Weekly Podcast is brought to you by Cameron Karting. Cameron Karting is proud to organize and support the 2010 Red Lion Line Oil Karting Championship. You can find Cameron Karting at CameronKarting.com. Check them out. You know you want to.
Thank you, Stephen. On today's program, Singapore. Is it as good as Monaco? Will Red Bull be back on the front row? Ferrari, momentum to continue? And Renault brings in some more rubles. Steve, welcome to the program. And of course, we have Motorsports Mondial with a great interview. Jerome D'Ambrosio. Steve, how are you?
Wonderful, Mr. Rogers, and yourself?
Absolutely wonderful. A few slings and arrows coming at my way, but I am built of stone.
That's not what she said.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Well, we have Singapore. Five more races to go.
And who is comparing Singapore to Monaco? Come on.
You know, Singapore.
It's Singapore. It doesn't have enough history to even be compared to Monaco.
Singapore is excited about this race, and they want to promote it more. They want it to be similar to Monaco, where it's always on the schedule, where it would never get bumped off.
That's like Korea saying that it's as good as Monza.
Well, you know, they do have a good point. A lot of people look forward to this race, and I know we've had some boring Singapore races.
I will admit it's a good track.
It's a good track.
It can be an exciting race if the field doesn't get too stretched out, or maybe we have an inadvertent accident to mix things up. But I'm sorry, but trying to compare it to Monaco with its history is a bit of a stretch.
Well, I think they're just looking for that mandatory slot on the calendar because it's a pretty fun race. It's a night race. Michael Schumacher is all pumped up about this race.
Don't they understand that the way to get that is just throw money at Bernie? He'll keep you on the calendar forever.
That's true, but still. And of course, this is we're back to a high downforce. It's going to be exciting.
Should be very interesting to see, especially with a couple of teams on the edge of running out of motors.
Well, that's true, too. And we're talking top teams. McLaren having some motor issues. And they're running their seventh engine because they insisted. And they say it was the plan to have new motors for Spa and Monza because of the long straights.
Yeah, and they're on their seventh motor, but they've got life in two other motors. You could run elsewhere without a problem.
Really. Exactly. They have used motors that are still sealed that you can use.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, the Spa and Monza motors can for all we know, they're running one of those two motors this weekend.
Yes. McLaren even says, quote, "I can tell you now that use of our race engines is exactly the way we planned it back in March." They're not surprised.
Yeah.
And I think Ferrari's following similar conditions.
Yeah, but I think Ferrari's one motor further on than they wanted to be. Since they basically lost one of Fernando's motors early in the season. And I think they've lost, well, Fernando's on his eighth. But the thing is, okay, fine, he's on his eighth motor, but how many races are on the seven others? And how many of them are still actually usable?
Yeah, and they're going to have to manage these engines because at this stage, five races to go, you can't take one of those brutal penalties.
No, especially not expect to stay in the hunt.
No, it would be brutal.
If Fernando takes it, that's it. Ferrari's done as far as the championships go.
Exactly. And like you said, Ferrari has fitted their eighth engines with five races to go. Yeah. But it's going to be a great race. But
for all we know, they've got four engines with one race on them. So they're right where they should be.
Well, the other thing that's going to be exciting about this race is not only do we have just five races to go, but now the top teams and some of the smaller teams are already developing their 2011 car. And we're pretty much down to the wire on any new developments for these final races. There'll be some tweaks here and there, but what you see is pretty much what you get.
Yeah, I can see.
And I think the big developments are coming this weekend.
Yeah, basically it's this weekend and next you're going to see the final last any kind of major update. After that point, there's not enough time left in the season to get it done. And even if you're in the hunt for the championship, you really need to start ramping up for next year. Otherwise, you're going to be way too far behind the curve.
Exactly, as was everybody behind Braun GP, where they had so much time to develop their new car. And sure enough, McLaren and Ferrari found themselves playing catch-up.
Exactly.
So they don't want to let this happen. So it's going to be great stuff. And of course, now that they've had all those tests with the flexi floors, the flexi wings, I think everything is sorted out. And I think McLaren believes that they might have the upper hand coming into Singapore.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think now that we're back on a higher downforce track, we're going to see the resurgence of the Red Bulls.
Huh? Who? Ah, the Red Bulls.
And Mark Webber on his sixth engine.
Yes. I think it is going to be Red Bull back in town.
Yeah, definitely going to be far more in the hunt than they were at Monza or Spa, just because they really didn't have the top speed, you know, that straight line speed that the other teams had at those two tracks.
Not only that, but Mark Webber has a very good chance of winning this championship. Sebastian Vettel thinks he has a very good chance of winning this championship. They need to sort, they're going to sort this out at Singapore.
Yeah, I think it's going to be pretty much, well, I don't know about sort it out, because if Vettel wins, then it's worse. If Mark wins, then it pretty much puts Sebastian in the supporting role.
And don't forget Ferrari. Lots of momentum coming from Monza with a win. Yeah, pressure on Fernando.
Yeah, if they can't put up, you know, heaven forbid, Felipe should have an accident on the back of the track.
Well, that's the other thing. Accidents, safety cars are definitely a part of this track.
Yeah, this one definitely. And maybe that's where you kind of can draw a comparison with it and Monaco, in the fact that, you know, when a car wrecks, there's a safety car, almost period, because if it wrecks, it's on the track. Because there really are no runoffs necessarily here in Singapore as we see in Monaco.
So how do you think this is going to play out? What is really going to happen here, Stephen?
It will be interesting to see how it plays up. But, you know, again, I see a resurgence of the Red Bulls. McLaren's going to be in it. I think Ferrari may end up being the odd man out. But they look so good at Monza. It's hard to say. But, again, they, unlike McLaren and the Red Bulls, don't seem to have the pace at the high down, you know, on a track where downforce is more of a requirement. They just aren't as quick through the corners. Though they have shown some pace, you know. Are they bringing upgrades? What's, you know, have we heard anything about weather?
I've heard some possibilities of rain.
Rain?
Mix it up.
Rain at this track would be cool, because I'd love to see this track wet.
I know, and we haven't yet, so that could be exciting. But I agree with you. I think qualifying is not going to be a big surprise. It's going to be the typical Red Bulls up front, and the fight's going to be between Vettel and Mark Webber, and of course, second row is going to be a fight between McLaren.
Though this is
Ferrari.
This is a track, though, where you could get one of those big schlamazzles in qualifying if people
is
don't.
That our favorite word again?
Yeah, it is this week. You could be a big problem in qualifying if somebody's Red Bull likes to play close to the vest and run late in the first session. This is a track where you could get a nice wreck that would lock you out, similar to what we saw in Malaysia.
That's true. I don't think the teams, they know, and I think we'll see guys coming out.
Out early.
Yes, getting that lap and banking on it. But still, I think the other dark horse, of course, is going to be Robert Kubica.
Well, the Renaults have been good.
Made so many improvements, and this is where Robert excels. Monaco.
In the last couple of years, this is kind of where Renault has begun to peak in the season, is at this track.
Very true.
Because if you look at the year, even though you know he may or may not have had help from his teammate, Fernando won and then won again, you know, two races later. It's been the track where they've kind of, like I said, they've kind of peaked, their seasons have peaked as far as their performance.
Yes, and of course, Fernando has made his luck there. At Singapore, in one way or another. Flavio Briatore has been coming out. A lot of people are suspecting he's trying to get back into F1. I really don't think so. I think he was just...
Oh, I think the fact that he's denied that he's trying to get back into F1 definitely means he's trying to get back into F1.
Well, good. I love Flavio, and I hope he comes back. I mean, I think he would be a perfect replacement for Bernie.
Yeah, I frankly think that if he comes back to Formula 1, he's going to be working for FOM. He's not going to be with a team.
You think?
Yeah,
some people suspect he might even be working for Ferrari. Some people have even said he might replace Dominic Cali.
I imagine if Ferrari throws enough money at him, he'll take Dominic Cali's job. You know, he is one of those Italians that doesn't have that kind of hyper passion that we often see with the Italians, where they're just kind of like they're so excitable that they kind of lose their minds.
It's called passione. But Flavio's come out talking about Fernando and how Schumacher went to Ferrari in 96. And Fernando's under much more pressure than Schumacher was under, because when Schumacher went to Ferrari, they were a losing team. They knew that they had to build the team up. Fernando was under pressure to bring the world championship in his first year at Ferrari. And Flavio is sort of supporting Fernando, you know, his little baby.
And he's over there cutting the legs out of from underneath Michael Schumacher, going, hey, that 41-year-old had no business coming back.
Well, everybody is saying that. I mean, it's all over. All the pundits most people are predicting Michael Schumacher is going to walk away next year, which I think is ridiculous.
No.
They're building a car around Michael Schumacher as we speak.
Yeah, he's going to go a second year, because this was really kind of a year to get back into the groove, you know, and relearn Formula One as it is now versus when he left, you know, several years ago.
Well, I think the smaller front tires have been Michael's big problem.
That and the fact that he's driving a pig, because, you know, when he left, you had every aero gizmo that you could get, and they were running light because they only had to, you know, and they were running light because there was refueling.
Well, I think next year is going to be... I think they're building a car for Michael Schumacher, and everybody's got tires that they don't know nothing about, except for Nick Heidfeld. And now...
And by the time we get to next season, Nick Heidfeld's not going to really know much about him either, because of all the testing that will have happened in between.
Correct. So, I think it's going to be great, and I'm glad... I'm sure that Michael's going to stick around. He's going to fulfill his contract. End of story.
I'm certain he'll get through next year. If he has another season like this next year, he might be flipping a coin.
Exactly. Of course, last five races, this is the new team of the new teams. One of them has got to finish 10th, which is huge. It means money, television money, F1 money. They need that money big time.
This is one of those races that somebody might be able to pull it off, because it has the potential
for a couple of safety cars.
And also has the potential for high attrition.
It does. So not only that, but it's a long race, 300 kilometers, but it's a slow race. So it's hot, high attrition. We'll see probably a number of kablamos, maybe from HRT. Don't know.
Yeah.
But this is a good test for the new team.
Yeah, definitely a chance for them. A flyaway race, which, you know, they haven't done in a couple months, so it'll be interesting to see how they shake out.
Exactly, and of course, let's see if all these all three of these teams make it to the 2011 grid.
If, frankly, if you're talking with Bernie, let's see if all of them actually finish these last five races.
Well, I think they will.
I think they will, too. I, you know, we haven't heard anything from Bernie lately about HRT's, you know, financial woes and as to whether or not they may or may not finish. So it'll be fun. Getting into the grid next year could be a burden. But I think that it's not going to be as bad as it was getting to the grid this year because I think they're going to be able to find sponsors.
I think you're right. And I think the fact that the FIA said no to a 13th team and let's just focus on what we have on the grid right now, I thought that was a good move.
Yeah.
You know, because there's only so many sponsors out there. Another team spreads everything out.
It thins it out, especially for the guys down at the bottom,
exactly.
Because they're the ones who are looking for the bargain sponsor people.
Exactly.
What did you think about Bernie talking about, 20 races is too many. We should only be doing 16.
I think 20 races is pretty much as we can do.
Yeah.
I mean, with the travel and the expense, I think 20 is our peak. It's not going to get higher than that.
No. And also, the length of the season starts to become an issue, too. Because
exactly.
We're going to be going into November this year.
Yeah.
And last year, I think we were done by the second week of October.
Yeah, I mean, I want 20 races for selfish reasons.
Yeah, because I don't want to have to... I want two more weeks to watch races, and I want to have to...
Exactly. And I won't have a problem if they're fluctuating one year with 17 or 18 to 20. I think those are good numbers.
Yeah. And now we got to wonder... Who's going to take the fall to get the U.S. on the calendar?
Well, you know, we'll see. We'll see how long. I mean, you know, okay, we have Korea this year. It looks like it's going to happen. It looks like it's going to be on time.
Yeah, because if you look at the numbers now versus what we're supposed to see by 2012, it should be 22.
Yeah, but by 22, and we have a Grand Prix in India coming soon.
That's what I mean. We're basically going to supposedly add India next year, and America the following year. That puts you at 22.
Well, there's going to be things happening.
He's going to pull Spa in Monaco off the calendar?
Spa and the German Grand Prix may...
Start flip-flopping?
Flip-flopping. And I could see this happening here, is Canada and the U.S. Grand Prix, if all goes well in Austin, could be flip-flopping as well, even though I don't want to see that happen.
No, definitely. I'd much rather have two in our time zone, so to speak.
Absolutely. And since they're in North America... It'd be sad to see them only do one race.
Yeah, frankly, it's not. You know, it's actually more cost effective for them to have two races here because then they, you know, they get two races for one trip, basically.
Exactly. Quickly before we go to break, of course, Renault just signed another Russian sponsor, which means that the chances of Vitaly Petrov being in the car next year are just getting better and better. I don't care if they've spoken to Kimi Raikkonen or not.
Kimi's probably the only guy that could get him out of the seat right now.
Yeah, and you know what? We'll see what happens. I mean, he's going to have to do some really bad mistakes.
He's going to have to kind of
keep this seat.
Turn around the improvements that we've been seeing all season long and basically kind of tank in these last five races to lose that seat, I think.
Of course, this is a huge Russian company, Vyborg Shipyard JSC. And I think it's good news for Renault. You know, sponsorship is so hard to get, and that's the reason why they have Vitaly Petrov in the first place.
Yeah, is to get that Russian sponsorship. Because basically, if Vitaly goes, somebody else is going to snap him up because he's going to bring money.
Well, there is talk of him going elsewhere, including HRT and some of the other small teams, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah, there was another team that was... I thought I heard it going to somebody like Williams or somebody.
I don't think it's going to happen.
No, maybe it was Lotus. I don't know.
Rubinho. It could be Lotus, but I don't think so. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back with Motorsports Mondial and, of course, an outstanding interview with Jerome D'Ambrosio. We'll be back after this brief message.
F1Weekly.com would like to thank our sponsor, San Jose Label Inc. San Jose Label is a custom manufacturer of labels that makes a variety of products. 1-4 color process labels, alphanumeric barcoding and UPC labels, blank labels, serialized asset tags, hazardous labels, bumper stickers, pin feed, static cling,
hot stamp labels, and many others. Please go to www.sanjoselabel.com for info, samples requests, and graphic design. Or you can call to telephone 408-436-8221. San Jose Label is the one-stop shop for all your labeling needs.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now, as we spin the globe and go around the world with Motorsports Mondial and the Karachi Kid himself, Nasser Hamid.
Greetings and welcome aboard. Racing regards from Singapore Girl. And there will be plenty of them this weekend at the Singtel Singapore Grand Prix. This will be third running of the event, so the history is brief, but in the inaugural race, it was Clint Eastwood-style history, sudden impact. And as they say in a song, who was the victim in the night? Flavio's boy won the fight. Or so they thought. Are you with us, Mr. Rogers, so far?
Absolutely, Fernando. Bravo, bravo, bravo.
Oh, yes. Then came the fighting of number two driver, and the real Singapore firecrackers started exploding in the FIA Halls of Justice in Paris. Yan can cook, and so can Max Mosley. Chop chop went Flavio and Pat Simmons from Formula One and L'Equipe Renault. But this is all in the past now, but we like to bring it up for an occasional sling and arrow. And we look forward to a great championship getting tighter and tighter with each race as we head for the season finale in Abu Dhabi. So it should be a great season, it should be a great race. And you folks mentioned about rain. It will be it's a monsoon area, Malaysia, Singapore. I'm frankly surprised they have not been hit by rain. But I know there was some heavy rain, maybe last year during Friday or Saturday or something. Maybe not in the nighttime, but daytime. Okay, now we fly to our next destination, Valencia, where the Formula 2 championship was decided. Opening race of the weekend was won by Nicola Di Marco of Italy. Will Brad of UK was second, and Arman Ibrahim of India was third. You know, I met Arman Ibrahim at the very first A1GP race. He was with Team India, of course, in 2005. Very nice kid, very young. But I think, you know, he was like only 15 years old with not a lot of experience when he was thrown into A1GP, which was a pretty powerful car. But he's hanging in there tough. Dean Stoneman of UK finished 9th, which was enough to earn him the championship. Race 2 was won by Kazim Vasiliauskas of Lithuania. Jack Clark of UK was 2nd with newly crowned champion Stoneman 3rd. And you know, here at F1 Weekly, apart from slings and arrows, we give free advice also. So here is a free sponsorship advisory to Dean Stoneman. Call Geico for sponsorship. 15-minute call can change your season. And that's because of his name.
Of course.
Think it will go well.
I think it's beautiful.
Yeah. I've wondered why, you know, the Australian V8 Championship has never been able to get sponsorship from Campbell Soup. It will be very catchy, you know. And there are a lot of American companies. Well, both cars there are American-owned companies, you know. Holden for Ford and...
Maybe they'll have Campbell's Soup over there.
Oh, I'm sure the mates love Campbell's Soup there. Or maybe they're just happy with the Roux Soup.
Are you sure that they're not sponsors?
No, none of the series. I know. But it'll be an interesting mix there. Okay, the final championship. Quite a few championships are being decided in this past week and the next couple of weeks. In the Formula 2 championship, final standings, Dean Stoneman... 284 points. Second, Jolyon Palmer, 242 points. His papito, Dr. Jonathan Palmer, won the All European Formula 2 Championship in 1983. And third was Sergei Afanasyev of Russia with 157 points. Quite a few Russian drivers, as we will see as we progress in the Mondial today. For those who are not familiar with the new Formula 2 Championship, this was a Max Mosley-led effort for low-cost racing. For those like yourself who consider $500,000 pocket change.
Exactly.
Thank you, sir. It's in your garage, right?
Yes.
Thank you. Cars are designed and built by Williams Grand Prix Engineering and powered by a turbocharged Audi engine. And interestingly, I read a news item just a couple of days ago that at least it's media report that series may not survive another year, which will be very disappointing, but, you know, given the economic environment, it will not be a surprise.
Well,
basically bringing in GP3 kind of took the market that Formula 2 was going after.
GP3 really sucked up the good drivers from F2 and all. The series that got really hurt was F3 Euro Series. And they're going to survive and see what happens. You know, the economic climate is not helping the situation also. No,
and there's some merging talks between F3 and everybody else. So I think some of these teams, some of these formulas will survive.
Yes. Now we go to WTCC, World Touring Car Championship, and they were also in Valencia. Gabriel Tarquini was the winner of race one in a Seat ahead of the Chevys of Yvonne Muller and Rob Huff. And when I'm done, remind me of a homie connection for Seat Cup. I've got an interesting chit-chat going with a homie driver.
Good for you.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. Well, we need
Viva
some...
Viva Pakistan.
Yes, Viva Pakistan, Forza Forward. And I sure would like to see a good homie. You know, I mean, he doesn't have to be in Formula One, but wherever he is or she, be competitive, you know. Well, I don't like this running 18th and jumping, you know, running 4 seconds behind the top guy and hoo-hoo-ha-ha. We don't need Yuji Ida, you know.
Just wasting his old man's money.
Yeah, exactly. And then what happens, you know, if you, like I was explaining to some guy a few weeks ago, is if you have contacts to corporations and you know you're not, and I told the guy, you really have no scope, and this is a different person, you really have no, it's not going to work for you because of your age and all that and serious lack of experience. But if you have good contacts with corporations and you can bring some money, find a talent who can, you know, because if you're winning, companies will stay with you. But if you're running 18, 19, they're going to say, what the hell is this? I mean, $500,000 is basically what you need for any serious open wheel racing. So it's, you have to give the paymaster his worth, you know. Otherwise, he will cut the fuel line of money. You know that program.
Yeah.
Thank you. Okay, Tiago Monteiro, who is from Portugal, and of course was his the high point of his racing life was a podium at the U.S. Grand Prix in 2005.
Great race, exciting.
Oh man, that was just you
Dancing
never
the beer cans
had
the
no
cups.
Idea who was going to win that race till the last corner. That was like really good. That's what happens when everybody's on the same tires. There is no tire war. Tiago Monteiro won race two in his Seat ahead of Muller and Tarquini. And now we go to Jolly Old England and Donington Park for BTCC, British Touring Car Championship. Gordon Shedden was the winner in race one driving a Honda. Winner in race two was Tom Onslow Cole in a Ford. Third and final race of the weekend was won by Matt Neal in a Honda. Jason Plato finished third for Chevrolet and still leads the championship. And this was actually brought to my attention by one of the drivers in Formula Renault, Mr. Harry Tinknell. But those who are real knucklehead, diehard racing fans want to know all the details. There is a website for a company that provides timing and scoring for British touring cars and support races. It's tsl-timing.com. And it's a Dutch company, I believe. And when you go to their website, it has all the details, you know, first session, second session, differences, and blah, blah, blah. So tsl-timing.com. And unfortunately, as with most things, F1 Weekly, this is not a paid commercial. It's public service for the motor racing people of the world. And I do go to it frequently when there's a Formula Renault race. Interesting developments there also. From British Tin Tops, we travel to Oschersleben for German Tin Tops, a.k.a. DTM. Paul Di Resta won from pole in his Mercedes. Bruno Spengler was second. He was also in a Mercedes. And Matthias Ekstrom third in his Audi. And this magazine, I'm sure some of our listeners are familiar with, gpweek.com, which is put out from Australia. It's a web e-magazine free of charge, and hence a favorite of mine. There is an interview with Dario Franchitti, and they asked him about Paul Di Resta, who, you know, they are cousins. And he said, you know, and it's been brought to my attention by other racing fans also, that some years ago, Paul Di Resta raced in F3 Euro Series, won the series. And you know who his teammate was, who he beat?
Lewis Hamilton?
Sebastian Vettel.
Okay.
And that says something about Paul Di Resta. And it's and he mentioned, you know, it's if the money was there, he would have moved on. And it's Sebastian Vettel has been with Red Bull since, you know, he was, I think, in diapers they have really taken care of. But so there's a lot of talent that gets pushed out or washed away. And you know what? I'm still a very big fan of Romain Grosjean. I think if somebody gives him a proper chance, that guy. And it's, again, very interesting to see Kobayashi doing, I mean, he has really taken the bull by the horn, doing very well. Buemi, nobody's trying to get rid of him in Formula One. And Romain Grosjean was always ahead of these guys when they raced together in F3 Auto Series and GP2. So it's a tough business. Okay, still at Oschersleben, Oschersleben, which is what used to be East Germany. They also had the F3 Euro Series, talking of F3 Euro Series, and the winner was Valtteri Bottas in race one. And I'm so glad that Valtteri, who is a very nice kid, he's very nice to me the few times I've met him, and I think he's a very good driver. But I'm happy for him that he's not part of the Red Bull package, because he should have done much better this year. And the way Red Bull is, win a championship or we throw you out before the season is over. But he did win the opening race of the weekend, which was good. The Italian job was completed by Eduardo Mortara, who came in sixth and collected the 2010 championship. So congratulations to him and all the drivers who are winning championships. Eduardo is the guy who won the Macau race, which really gives you...
2009.
Yeah, and he did. I was listening to that race on the web. Your homeboy, Jean-Carl Vernet, who's racing here, he led most of the race, but he hunted him down and passed him a few laps from the end. Second race saw first F3 Euro Series win for French driver Jim Pla. This cat had a bizarre accident in 2007 at Pau, and I'm mentioning this because he was not hurt, but it was very strange. And I believe it was a Formula Renault race, definitely a single-seater. And this you can check out on YouTube. Keywords are Jim Pla, and PLA is Pla and Po. The race was in the streets of Po, and Po is, of course, PAU. I mean, it's like bizarre. You know, his street race, his car spins out, and he's doing the right thing. At least that's the impression I get by watching on YouTube. He's sitting in the car, and it looks like the marshal is telling him to get out. So as he's trying to get out, another car spins out and hits his car. And he's like standing in the car, and then he's like, flying in the air and then landing on the side of the car. He was very lucky that another car was coming but went the other way. But he's okay, and one of those bizarre incidents of motor racing. And talking of Po, very pleased to report the Po Grand Prix is back next year. And you know, Alexander Rossi last year raced in Po in the Formula Master Series. I was talking to his dad, and when he told me that Rossi Alexander might race in Po, I said, man, if you can confirm to me by a certain date, I'll be there, because I was going to Europe around that time. And his confirmation came a little too late, but I would love to see a race in Po. Have you ever been there, sir?
Yes, twice.
You like it?
It's a wonderful town.
I'm sure the cheese is good.
The great restaurants, great town, great people. Love it. La France.
Yeah, so great people tells me that your vehicle was not stolen or broken into in this town.
Nothing like that.
Okay. It happened once, right?
It happened. That was after Dijon Prenois.
Okay. Okay, back to Britain and Silverstone this time for form. Oh, this was another interesting. This was one of the most bizarre protests I've ever seen. Formula Renault 3-5, or previously known as World Series by Renault. Esteban Guerrero of Argentina led the race from start to finish, only to be disqualified, giving victory to your homeboy Jean-Éric Vergne, who has replaced Brendan Hartley as Red Bull driver in the series. Guerrero, he had a heavy crash in qualifying, and what happened is he was disqualified because a team protested that front piece of the car had tape over it, and the car was basically repaired maybe 3-4 minutes before the start of the race, so they put some, in a haste, some tape. And apparently that was against the rules and regulation. So team protested, and he was disqualified, and he was not pleased. And who can blame him? But he pressed on to win the second race, and this was an interesting photo. He showed up on the podium in the after winning the second race with red tape over his mouth. That looked very, very funny. But in the race report I read, it was not red tape that was put on the top of the car. But whatever it was really mocking the penalty. And he won a tough race after a great battle with Daniel Ricciardo of Australia. The season finale is in Barcelona, and that will decide the championship between Guerrero from Argentina, Ricciardo from Australia, and current leader Mikhail Aleshin of Russia. And this is another reason why you know, Red Bull blew Hartley out, even though I think he's a very good driver. He really should have won some races and possibly even leading the championship, but they put in Jean-Éric Vergne. And this was his second weekend in this series, and he completely dominated the British F3 this year. So now we move on to Formula Renault UK. They were also at Silverstone, both races won by Lewis Williamson. Tom Blomqvist now leads the championship after finishing second in both races. Ricky, don't lose that number. Christo Dulo was third man on the podium in both races. Final run of the season is next month at Brands Hatch. And you know this kid, Tom Blomqvist, he has racing in his blood and in his eyes. His father is, of course, Stig Blomqvist, the famous Swedish rally driver. This kid, I think, is like 15 or 16 years old, and he's doing very, very good. Looks like he's going places. Okay, FIA GT1 Championship from Portimão in Portugal, the Algarve region, beautiful major tourist attraction. Winners were Dumbreck and Krum in a Nissan GTR, followed by Maserati of Bertolini and Bartels. Corvette of Henrici and Margaritis was third. And Mr. Alex Margaritis used to race in DTM, and some years ago when he was racing there, and they would show these races on Speed TV. Steve, you probably remember that. DTM races.
They typically end up showing them in like December to February.
Yeah.
In the middle of the day or early in the mornings when, you know, nobody who works for a living can watch them.
Yeah. And so anyway, when they would show these races, and any time the camera would go on Alex Margaritis, who is of Greek origin, but I think he grew up in Germany, he was surrounded by very inspiring Greek mythology, the mythology that walks on two legs, if you know what I mean.
Aphrodite?
Yes, Athena, whatever. Very nice. I always had Venus. Good company. Yeah. Okay, MotoGP, the inaugural Aragon Grand Prix in Spain. I read, and I think it's true, that there were four MotoGP Grand Prix races this year in Spain. I know there's one in Barcelona, there is one in Jerez, and there has to be one in Valencia. Valencia is the one where Jorge Lorenzo jumped in the pool and then had a hard time getting out because he got so heavy. But this one at the new Aragon Grand Prix track, win number one of the season for ex-world champion Casey Stoner on a Ducati. Local hombre Danny Pedrosa was second for Honda, with Kentucky kid Nicky Hayden third on a Ducati. IndyCars and Randy Bernard, the Buckaroo Cowboy, head of what used to be IRL, he has declared no more use of the term IRL, so which is good. Nobody liked that. Indy Racing League, that always had a negative connotation on open wheel.
So what's it called now?
IndyCars. IndyCar Series.
Yeah, exactly. IndyCar Series.
Yeah, and yeah, IndyCars, I mean, it's the way to go. Anyway, race from Twin Ring Motegi in Japan. Three Penske drivers in the top four. Castro Neves winning. Will Power third, and fellow Aussie Ryan Briscoe fourth. Dario Franchitti was second for Ganassi, and Danica Patrick fifth. And Motegi is the place where she scored a historic IndyCar win some years ago at 27 miles per hour. But, you know, take the wins as they come. And talking of Franchitti, he recently drove Jim Clark's Indy-winning Lotus, I understand. So I know he's a huge fan of fellow Scott, Jim Clark.
He's a nut. He absolutely adores Jim Clark.
Yeah, he recently met Sally Stokes, who used to be Jim Clark's girlfriend. She now lives in L.A. or somewhere in that area. And now to your favorite series, sir. Yeah, the chase is on. Tony Stewart was on his way to winning the first race of the chase, but ran out of fuel with a lap to go. Victory to Clint Bowyer, Denny Hamlin second, and Jamie McMurray third. Montoya was sixth. Sixteenth. 1-6. The sweet 16 he is.
Where's Greg Biffle?
He's there somewhere also. And so is Scott Speed and all these guys. But, you know, chase, I think, is only 12 drivers. So Denny Hamlin, by the way, is leading the chase. So
which we'll means see. That everybody that's not in the chase is basically Phil for the rest of the season.
Yeah, they can win for races, but the points they get would not count towards the championship. Yep. And they're just trying to mix it up, you know, keep the interest going. A couple of names here, and I think these kids have what it takes to be very big superstars down the road. Only time will tell how it pans out. Nick DeVries, this is a kid who has been on my radar for about a year. He's in karting, and he is with the McLaren Driver Development Program, which I think means Papa Hamilton Program. 15 years old, and he just won the Karting World Championship, and apparently he's one of the youngest at the age of 15. Because you're racing in the top series KF1, you're racing with drivers who have more karting experience than he's been living. So this is very impressive. And then again, given the diversified nature of motor racing these days, this is good news. There's a kid named Kevin Korjus, last name is spelled K-O-R-J-U-S. He's from Estonia, and he won this year's Formula Renault Euro Cup, which is something Valtteri Bottas did, and also the championship that Scott Speed won before he was put into GP2 by Red Bull. And some sad news, you know, there are a couple of people who passed away, very sad. One was a gentleman from England by the name of Ralph, and I believe the last name is Broad, B-R-O-A-D. When I was starting to follow in the early 70s, his company, Broad Speed, was like one of the major teams, was like the pro drive this year in British Touring Car Championship. He passed away. He had moved to Portugal after retiring. So an old name from the past. And also, I'm sure this gentleman is good friend, was good friends with Danny Sullivan. Garvin Brown, he was from the Brown Forceman Distillery Company. And he was a huge racing fan, supported Danny Sullivan. He passed away in Milan. So our condolences to the respective families. Any questions, sir?
Any answers?
What's the question?
Who's the steward this weekend?
Danny Sullivan.
There you go.
Yeah.
So there you have it. Another outstanding Motorsports Mondial. Any predictions for Singapore, Nasser?
Well, the...
What's your outlook on Singapore, Fernando, Robert Kubica, Lewis Hamilton, Sebastian Vettel, Jenson Button?
Yes, Jenson Button. Yes, good name. thank you. I was going briefly, you know, this courtesy of Mr. Peter Brazier, the Autosport link came, and I was looking very briefly. I was at work, and all the technical gurus, and I'm definitely not one of them, they are saying that it will be Red Bull and McLaren, and the guy who can really spoil the party is Robert Kubica. And I think they are underestimating Ferrari, because even though Red Bull may have an edge, other people are trying to catch. But I think Red Bull would be the team this weekend. But if everything was equal, which they never are in racing or in life, Lewis Hamilton is the ultimate street hustler. But he paid a very heavy price of his mistake in Monza on the opening lap. So I would like to see him survive and take it easy if you can.
I think he will take it easy, having learned from that experience at Monza. He's going to be a little more conservative on the opening lap, but certainly a street fighter nevertheless.
I would like to see, you know, just so that everybody stays in the fight, it'll be nice if Lewis can finish ahead of one of the Red Bulls on the podium.
Well, I'd like to see Robert Kubica win or on the podium for sure.
Well, that'll be very nice.
After a safety car, you never know what can happen in Singapore.
Yes, safety car, Renault, yeah, you never know. Hey, you asked for it.
Nasser, what are you insinuating?
Yeah. So it's Vitaly not too long ago. Doesn't have an accident right after Robert's pit stop.
Forgive and forget.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes.
Okay, we're going to take a
quick
break.
That's FF. But on VCRs, you always have a rewind button also, and in DVR too. So
thank you.
But it should be a good event.
It's going to be fantastico.
Oh, and I want to tell you about the homie driver.
The homie driver.
You know, for preparing the motorsports model, this is what I'm really enjoying. I used to do that many years ago. I was always interested in junior series, you know, and some of them it was very sad. You know, a friend of mine and I used to follow young drivers, and you know, next thing you know, before they could even make their name, they get killed in an event or something like that. A couple of cases really come to mind. But anyway, I was doing some research for some information, and I saw this press release that Umair Khan wins the UAE Touring Car Championship, and that's a very homey name. So I started looking into it, and what he did, he was second in the overall championship, but he won the one of the categories, you know, which was the where you race Honda Civic type cars. So I got in touch with him through Facebook and all that, and he has some desire to race and some Tinto. And he's the good thing about him, he's sensible. You know, he's not one of those people, you know, they're finishing 15th in Formula Atlantic. Next thing you know, they want to go into GP2. That doesn't work. So he's looking at some tin top series like the Seat Cup, Polo Cup. So I said, hey, you know, I know a little bit about these series. Would you mind if I do some groundwork for you? So he said, sure. So I've been talking to some teams in Europe. And it's interesting, you know, how you find out what it takes to do a season in terms of, it's all about money, you know. And I'm beginning to, I had a very strong inkling that it's about 500,000 euros to do GP3. And there are some negotiations available, but top teams would want top dollars. So I took that and I says, you know, no matter what series you do, it just cannot be under 100,000 euros. It has to be something. And that's what's really turning out to do something like a Renault Clio Cup. You know, a Clio car. We're looking at about 120,000, 130,000 euros, plus the insurance travel cost. And the only thing that, one thing that really blew me, and I brought this up in a previous podcast, you know, all these big companies that are trying to capture market, you know, commercial considerations are very important, even in racing. So Volkswagen started a Volkswagen Polo Cup, which they have in Germany also. They started a Volkswagen Polo Cup India, and it's totally, you know, managed and handled by, promoted by Volkswagen India. And I just could, I mean, I really could not believe this, and I even had somebody else do the math for me. You know what a total season, and it's about like two rounds, like the European format, two rounds, two races per round, and the total of 12 races. The total, and I'm sure it's very heavily subsidized, is less than $10,000 to do a season this year.
That's unbelievable.
That is unbelievable. You just,
it's like just paying for fuel.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like they hand you a car and go.
Yeah. And Bernie Ecclestone should take a note of this. In that economy and market, you really cannot have $300 tickets. And I'm sure it's very heavily subsidized by Volkswagen. I did send them an email. There is a chance. Somebody told me, I'm not sure this, I'm trying to verify, that the series is only open to Indian drivers, Indian nationals, and only to a certain age level. So I'm having fun trying to get some info. And once we settle on a series, we'll see if we can raise some sponsorship from homie companies.
That's good. And I like that.
It will be. And, you know, part of that package of my services are free most of the time, as you know. I would like to ask him to at least put a F1 Weekly sticker on his car. If
I was
going
to say, get his address, and we'll get a hat and a sticker in the mail.
Yes.
Immediately.
So, yeah, so that's, you know, we're trying to reach racing fans all over the world.
Including the little people.
Well, that's one of us, you know.
Exactly. Yeah. Nas, thank you.
The mirror never lies.
That's true. Nas, thank you. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back with the midweek interview with Jerome D'Ambrosio. We'll be back after this brief message.
Hi, I'm Clark Rogers, host of F1Weekly.com's podcast. Please visit our website, F1Weekly.com, your fresh new destination for all your Formula One needs. F1Weekly.com brings you a weekly podcast that covers the latest news, rumors, and insightful commentary related to the pinnacle of modern motorsports, Formula One. You can find us on iTunes and other popular podcast locations. F1Weekly.com. Thank you.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now, the interview. Nasser introduced this young Belgian race driver.
Yes, sir. This conversation is with Jerome D'Ambrosio. He's from Belgium. His Papito is from Italy. And conversation took place at Hockenheim at the last German Grand Prix. Very nice guy, very nice driver. And he's done pretty good for himself. He was karting world champion. And I know a couple of people are pounding on him on the forum. And, you know, they have their valid points there. He also won the Formula Renault in Belgium and then has been racing in the GP2 for a couple of seasons now. And where he really came on my radar was some years ago. There used to be a series called Formula Master International, which Alexander Rossi did last year. He won that championship. And this year has been a tough year for him, so they sidelined him for Hockenheim, brought in Romain Grosjean, and he's trying to, you know, make something happen. He's part of the Gravity Management, hence the connection with Renault. So I wish him all the best. And we had a little chit-chat after the interview. He has a very, very good taste in music. He said, I listen to Ella Fitzgerald and huge fan of Ennio Morricone, which I am also. So I wish him all the best and thank him for his time. And he will be doing some test duties with Virgin F1 in Singapore. So thank you, Mr. Jerome D'Ambrosio.
Okay, folks, I'm here in Hockenheim with a racing driver in GP2 from Belgium, Mr. Jerome D'Ambrosio. Jerome, how are you today?
I'm fine, thank you.
Now, you are in the Renault development program, is the Jenny Capital, I should say. Gravity also is the same company, right? They asked you to sit down and not race this weekend. What was the reason behind it, and how disappointed are you on that?
Well, the reason is that we have some objectives since the beginning of the season that we weren't able to achieve, and we wanted to understand the cause of it and try to move on and to take good conclusions from this weekend. It's not easy to sit out and to watch the other driving, but I've got to try to take the positive and see it in a constructive way to build a solid basis for the future, for the last races. Now, yeah, I think this is about it. It was just to really try to find the reasons why we were not able to achieve what we wanted.
And you will be back in the cockpit next race and the remaining races?
Yes.
Like I said, I've been following your career since you were in Formula Master. Belgium has a rich history, and every driver I talk to, when you ask them favorite track, Spa-Francorchamps. So what's your story? How did you develop interest in motor racing?
Well, it started with go-karts, so very, very early. I think I was around 8. As you say, there's a kind of culture of motorsport, even though we didn't have a Formula One driver for the past 20 years nearly. There is a background in motorsport with Jack Higgs and Thierry Boutsen, and then, of course, we've got this track, Spa-Francorchamps, which is one of the best, if not the best in the world. Very nice to drive, so go-karts and then single-seaters, and here I'm in GP2.
How long were you in karting? And for young karting drivers who are very good in Belgium, is there any support available from RACB or from Belgian companies?
There is. I stayed, I think, about 8 years in go-kart, so quite a lot. You get some support. There is the federation trying to build up some programs, but it is difficult because, of course, you need good support from companies as well. We're working on that in Belgium. It's not yet where we want it to be. I think it would be good for Belgium to have a Formula One driver in Formula One quite soon.
Will that be you?
Hopefully.
Okay, I wish you all the best. Now, when you went from karting to single-seaters, was Formula Master the first motor racing you did? And how long were you there?
No, it wasn't the first. I won the world championship in go-kart when I was 16, yeah. And I did Formula Renault 1.6. Then I was, at that stage, I was taken by Renault, the old program. For 1 year in Renault 2-liter, I did 2 years in Renault 2-liter, 1 year in European 3000, then Formula Master, and so I've got a bit of experience in.
Now you said the old Renault program, did that include Flavor Flav?
Excuse me, I didn't.
Did that include Flavor Flav, Flavio Briatore?
Yeah, well, I was part of the old program. It used to be called RDD. I was there for 1 year, so yeah, that was run by Bruno Michel and old Renault staff.
Yeah. Did you have any dealing? How was your experience dealing with Flavio?
Of course, I was a young driver, so I didn't have to deal directly with him.
You never got to hear in the cockpit, "Bravo, bravo."
No, never. No. As I say, I was just coming up from go-kart, so very young.
Okay. When you went into car racing from go-karting, what was the major adjustment you had to make? And also, winning the world championship in karting is very hard. Who were some of the racing drivers you raced against in karting and beat to win the championship?
Well, it depends. In my go-kart career, in European, in juniors and everything, I was always a year younger than Lewis, Robert and all these guys, but we've raced together in a couple occasions. I've raced, I think no one has made it to the GP2 now, apart from Guido van der Garde, who's now in GP2, I've raced against him. It's difficult, some of them have stayed in go-kart, not everyone has opportunity to move on to single-seaters, but we've all raced together. For example, Kobayashi, I've raced with him, I know him since I'm 15, we've raced together, we were teammates for 2 years last year, and yeah, Kobayashi, I know since go-kart, I know Inkelberg since go-kart, I know, I think half of the grid in Formula One has been in go-kart, so.
If you know Kobayashi for so long, I have to ask you this question: how good is the sushi from his dad's restaurant?
Well, I know him for very long, but I didn't visit him in Japan, and I don't think go often to Japan. He must be good, although he didn't like to eat so much sushi in Europe, so maybe he had too much of it.
Okay. And Jeep, going back to GP2, what is your game plan? Where do you think you need to make the most improvement to keep the gravity management happy?
Well, I think it's a teamwork, you know. It is we're alone in the car, but it is a teamwork. We need to progress as a team and move on forward. It's really in the way we work. I think in terms of results, wasn't a big difference this weekend. But inside, we've seen different ways of working. Maybe that we can inspire from.
Is there any plan on the agenda right now for you and your people for next season?
At the moment, really focus on the GP2. We need to get something good out of this, and then we'll see.
Okay. Well, we do our podcast from California. Have you ever been to the U.S. or do you follow American racing scene?
I've been to the U.S. I was quite young. It was actually '94 for the World Cup, Soccer World Cup. We had a good friend who was captain of Belgium national team at that time, so I went to the East Coast. Never to the to California, or I'd love to. I think it must be a nice place.
And what part of Belgium are you from, and what language do you speak?
Brussels. I'm from Brussels. I speak French, English, and Italian.
You're a big city boy. Okay, will you please tell our listeners a little bit about Jerome D'Ambrosio, the young man, not the driver? What kind of music you like? How do you spend your non-racing time?
Oh, I think I'm quite chill out. You know, racing is very hectic, you know, it's intense, I'm quite relaxed when I'm home. I don't like when I'm there, it's not often. Just chill out with friends, you know, normal stuff, kind of music. I'm a bit of all type of music guy, you know, depends on my mood. I can switch from Jacques Brel and these old French classics from Edith Piaf to the complete modern and rap and things like that, you know. I'm really depends on my mood, so I think there's music is it's I love music. I live with it. I've got my iPod in my pocket, and depending on my mood, I like to listen to different types of music.
Okay, do you know this French song called Je n'ai pas changé? Do you like that?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I mean it's a classic, you know. It's all this classic I know. I was raised with, you know, with my father and everything, and we used to listen these to during the old trips, you know, when I was in karting, going to Italy with the car, going to France with the car, so spend a lot of hours in
yeah. Okay, so merci beaucoup. Thank you very much, all the best.
Jerome, thanks for joining F1Weekly.com. And now let's go right to the wrap up with no forum updates.
But we have mail!
We do have one email. Steve, take it away. That'll replace the forum updates. We're not sure what happened, but I'm sure we'll have some for you next week.
But check out the forums. They're good for you.
Yep.
This email is from John R., and he writes, I've been listening to your podcast for quite a while now, but one thing I can't live without is the obviously failed attempts in humor during the podcast. Saying things like Jenson Button and Felipe Massa is just plain lame. Actually, reduces the quality of your podcasts. Actually, he said, humor is good, but only lightly. Try to talk in different accents and saying names in lame ways are just not worth it. It actually reduces the quality of your podcasts. I swear to God, if you guys were to reduce the attempted humor, your podcasts and reports would be beyond brilliant. All the F1 fans in my office have the exact same feeling towards your podcasts. Which makes me feel real good, because that means there's more than one person in his office listening to us. Please, please, please. The Singapore GP is coming up. Try doing a podcast with a professional. Do an actual race report rather than make jokes at everything. And you can see how much more awesome it will be. Other than that, you guys are good. All the best. Cheers. John. Thanks, John. We appreciate the feedback. Been a while since we've actually gotten some feedback that wasn't pumping us up, so thank you very much.
We're focused. We're more professional now.
For like 3 months, and then we'll start to slip again.
Not me. I'm not slipping anymore, Steve.
Okay.
So there you have it. Anyway, quickly, I want to bring up the wrap-up. NAS
Well, he's right. Failed attempt at humor. I haven't seen any contract from, Buena Vista Production, which used to be, people who promote all these late night shows. So it's time we listen to the listeners once again.
We always listen to the listeners.
Yeah, and I thank him for listening and also writing.
Absolutely. So keep up the good work. San Francisco Formula One Group are getting back together this weekend, September 26th, 10 a.m., pre-race. Flag drops at 10:30. There will be food and beverage, and they're going to be at the Go-Kart Racer, 1541 Adrian Road in Burlingame. You can give them a call, 650-692-7223, and this is a great racing kart track.
After this, we'll...
And now, NASCAR has news on the new 2011 calendar.
Yes, sir. Thank you for asking. Very pleased to confirm that the design, layout, everything has been approved. It takes a lot of time. And, I have review and other people look at it and still a mistake or two happens. So everything has now been sorted out. This is as good and accurate as humanly possible. The press to print button has been given in L.A., Santa Ana, actually. That's where it's printed. Right where Dan Gurney's shop is. And, interestingly, the theme is Motorsports Memories Americana, a tribute to American success in Formula One. And we have Dan Gurney on the cover. Very interesting conversation with him. So it should be printed sometime next week. And then they have to, outsource for some drilling and this and that. It's amazing even a small calendar gets shipped out for a day or two. But shipment will start next month. So if you're interested, and some folks have already shown interest, we thank them, and it's coming on the merchandise paper, merchandise page soon.
And what are the costs?
Same as last year, $15.95 plus tax and shipping. Shipping, I'll have to figure out how much it is. Post office is always surprising me. But, the continental United States remains pretty reasonable. It's the overseas shipment that is just killing me softly.
We understand, NASCAR, and of course, this is American talent made in the USA.
No, and this is some serious stuff. Just give you an example. A lot of people don't remember Richie Ginther. Okay, here is a guy who used to work in the Douglas Aircraft Company as a mechanic and worked very hard, worked very well in racing, and he gave Honda their first Grand Prix win in Mexico, and that was also first win for Goodyear. So it was a very historic win. And there's I was a huge fan of Peter Revson. The guy was the first American to win the Can-Am Championship. Mark Downhill was an outstanding racing talent. And there were some other interesting characters. There were some, because of there are only so many people I can put in. But still, there is Maston Gregory, the Kansas City Flash, and of course the obvious Mario Andretti and Phil Hale. But there's always, a lot of good information where if you want to know who was the first American to score a point in a Grand Prix championship, you'll find out, or where the first American podium was. A lot of interesting information.
Fantastic, NASCAR. We can't wait to get these calendars out to the listeners. And, of course, you can pre-order by just emailing anybody here at F1 Weekly.
Si, senor.
Excellent. Thank you, NASCAR. Cameron Karting is proud to organize and support the 2010 Red Line Oil Karting Championship. Cameron Karting offers CRG carts, engines, and parts for all carts, engine service, driver coaching, and trackside support to Northern California carters. For more information, simply go to CameronKarting.com. I want to mention our MySpace, Facebook, and Twitter sites. Just do a search for F1 Weekly and add us as a friend. If you'd like to advertise or cross-promote with our website, we have super end-of-the-year discounts available. Simply go to info@F1Weekly.com. And drop me a message. I want to thank all the listeners that listen, because without you, we are just talking to the wind. Good night.
Bye-bye.
This is Desiree for F1Weekly.com, thanking you, the subscribers and members of our listening audience, for listening to our podcast, recording and commenting on Formula One, the highest echelon of motorsport. A blend of technology, tradition, glamour, and guts, all wrapped up in a high-speed package. That's F1Weekly.com for all your Formula One needs.